The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. What exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news. Join my cabinet, Gorka's cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, sebgorka.com. Click on the Gorka's cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's cabinet at sebgorka.com.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
Yes, what? That's not right. Chad, what time is it? Good. That's much better. Eastern, right? I looked at the clock, that big, massive digital radio-controlled nuclear clock thingy we have up here. 5 o'clock Eastern? I'm sad. An hour to go? It's not enough. But it's okay, because we've got great, great guests and you here on America First. And also some rather choice audio cuts to share with you. Let's start with, I guess it's the news of the day. Senator Liz Warren. How many people voted for her? How many delegates did she get from Massachusetts? Isn't that where she's a senator from? Strange that. Let's listen to her. She has bowed out. I don't think it's graceful. She won't even tell us who she's going to give her delegates to. This is Senator Liz Warren of the state of Massachusetts that didn't vote for her. Cut nine.
Gender in this race, you know, that is the trap question for every woman. If you say, yeah, there was sexism in this race, everyone says, whiner. And if you say, no, there was no sexism, about a bazillion women think, what planet do you live on? I promise you this. I will have a lot more to say on that subject later on.
Oh, no. She'll have a lot more to say on it. Will it be 1/1024th more to say on the subject? Because you really shouldn't say, people call me a whiner if I say one thing. And if I say something else, a bazillion women agree with me. Is that like the 170 million people killed by guns, according to Sleepy Joe? You do sound like a whiner. And the fact that for every woman, this race is about women? No, it's not. Only for pathetic people who can't see past gender. For those people who are trapped in the self-imposed prison, the cage that they welded for themselves of identity politics. That's why you are now an irrelevance. That's why Massachusetts refused to vote for you with zero delegates. Senator Warren, you could have drawn a lesson. Instead of writing a whiny 1,032 words preachy letter of your resignation today, you could have said, you know what, maybe identity politics doesn't work, but you couldn't do it, could you? Well, that's just fine, because your party won't learn from it either. Because at the moment, Tulsi Gabbard is off in her la-la land. So how she's still running, there's two people left. Two people. They're both old, white, and let's use the phrase, entitled. And the most important thing is, what do they represent? The two people left on the Democrat side for the presidential nominee, one of them is the corrupt establishment. And the other one is corrupt, but he paints himself as the anti-establishment candidate. What kind of a choice is that? There's only two parties in America that mean anything, that can make it to the end. And one of them, out of all the possible candidates, out of 320 million people in this country, one of them is the establishment. 40 years in the swamp. One of the most corrupt politicians imaginable. And the other one is also corrupt. I mean, look at what happened in 2016. They literally stole the nomination from him at the convention with the magic superdelegates. And then what happens? Oh, he endorses the person that stole the nomination from him. Establishment who paints himself as a revolutionary. How sad, how pathetic. Let's talk about far more important things, things that you can be a part of changing the world today in this Lenten period, this Easter season especially. We've played lots of audio from this chap, but he's in studio. This is, I feel like, wow, the mountain has come to Muhammad. He's called Paul Jacobs. He is with Food for the Poor. And we are supporting their endeavor to bring clean water, to bring food to the starving, to the people of Guatemala. Welcome to the studio, Paul.
It's great to be here. I haven't been called a chap since my family, who is from Darlington, England.
Oh, wow.
Yes, my father grew up in Darlington, England. I haven't been that chap since I was a chap.
I'll call you chap, and by the end of the interview, I may call you a solid bloke as well, and even a geezer. If you really perform, you might be a geezer by the end of the next 5 minutes. You never know, but we'll see.
Good stuff.
Can I really hit you with a gut punch?
Certainly.
Okay. So I do this with abandon. I do this with pride because I see myself as a Christian, and I think this is important. I think the last 3.5 years have seen us blessed in America. If you're not handicapped and if you're not lazy, you can get a job. There's more jobs available than there are people seeking for jobs. We are the strongest economy we've ever been. It is an employees' market, so we are just so blessed. Yes. And this is when I think, okay, this is when we give back. We should always be giving back, but if you're not giving back now, when are you going to give back? And then I get people sometimes DM me or text me on our text line, your show is called America First. Shouldn't we look after American kids first? And I say, I'll tell you what my response is, and I want your Food for the Poor response. Did Jesus talk about one child being more important than another? Or did he say, send unto me the little children? What is your message when people say, hang on, this is America, let's concentrate on America? Why is the plight? There's a really cynical answer. Hey, let's help them so that they stay there and don't try and flood our borders, which is not a bad argument from a pragmatist point of view. Sure. What is the Food for the Poor argument as to why you are doing the incredible work you do?
It starts and it ends in gospel. Matthew 25:40 says, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. The least of these has no flag, has no culture, has no citizenship card. The least of these is those who are suffering the most. Right. Jesus says, who is my neighbor? The one who is suffering. He gives a parable of the man who was beaten bloody.
I think somebody's asked this question from him before, because he's ready.
No, it's something I live by. And then you bring it closer to home. Now, you talk about America First. Absolutely. My father, a single parent, raised me. My father worked two jobs. Ends did not meet. And there were days where we had no electricity, no running water in our home. This is me growing up in America, in South Florida.
Wow.
No running water. Running home from the bus stop at the end of the school day because I had to get home and do my homework before the sun went down. This is America First. There were safety nets, though. Gardens Baptist Church, just down the street, provided my father the necessary things that he needed just to get us to the next level. And we never took any kind of subsistence or any kind of food stamps or things like that. My father worked his way through. But when you go to places like Guatemala, there's no safety net.
Yeah.
There is no welfare system. There's no
local charity.
None of that. Yeah. There is the body of Christ doing its best through you, the listener, and Food for the Poor.
This is incredibly important. Thank you for doing that. We're going to save that answer because it's such a powerful answer. Tell us what it means. I don't know if you can do this both ways. Tell us what it means to those communities, to those families. And can you tell us what it means to the people who donate? Do you have, you know, data on that, what it means to them?
Absolutely. You know, I don't have some empirical data, but I talk to listeners all the time.
The
I talk to donors all the time. And one of the things, I get two answers always whenever we talk to radio listeners who give. First of all, they say, thank you for allowing me to answer what God has called me to do. First of all, it's always tied back into their relationship with God.
That's a keeper, Shad. We're going to use that soundbite.
Yeah. Secondly, they say, I've never felt better knowing that on the other side of my gift, a family has clean water, right, has food to eat. A child can eat, can be healthy again. A father, even though he may be unemployed, has dignity because now he can take care of his family. And then you've empowered a mother who works 7 days a week. Like the moms we just met in Guatemala just a few weeks ago. 7 days a week, possibly less than $2 a day. $2 a day.
Yeah.
Even in the third world, that is nothing.
Come unto me, the little children.
That's right.
Powerful. $80. Food and water for a child for a year. You can make that difference right now. Do it.
Yes.
Go to sebgorka.com. Click on the Feeding the Starving Families banner and make a donation in any amount. You know it's the right thing to do. God bless you. SEBGORKA.com, Feed the Starving Families banner. Will you come back?
Anytime.
That was way too short. Okay. God bless you and all your colleagues for doing the Lord's work quite literally. Back with Andrew Claver in a moment.
Know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Well, if the president told you to do it, that's the right thing to do, clearly. Right? You know it is. We're back. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist of President Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. And so excited. It's been far too long, my good buddy, my favorite podcast. And I mean it. It is the Andrew Claven Show. No ease. No ease. They are banned. It is K-L-A-V-A-N. He is author, screenwriter, essayist, host of The Andrew Claven Show at The Real Daily Wire, and author, most importantly, of the second book in the Another Kingdom trilogy. You may not like to have a midnight feast, but this is the nightmare feast. Grandmaster Claven, are you there?
I'm here, brother. It's good talking to you.
Is it good talking to me in a time when minority leaders of the Senate think they can threaten violence against the Supreme Court?
Oh, my Lord. You know, this, Chuck Schumer didn't choose the thug life. The thug life chose him. He's like, he is now. That was pretty amazing. It really was.
Let's just play it. For those who missed it, that we played the audio yesterday. We played it with our buddy Boris, but Chad, can you play the... Okay, this is what Chuck Schumer, the most senior senator on the Democrat side, said in front of the Supreme Court.
And they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Every day I find myself saying that it's not going to get worse. The Democrats are not going to get worse. This is beyond the pale, surely.
What's amazing about it, and he did dial it back a little bit after everybody fell on top of his head like a ton of bricks. But what's amazing about it is there's no decision, right? They're just listening to the case. So it's a clear threat. It's not, you know, you did this, and therefore we're angry. It's if you do this, we will come down on you. So it was a clear threat.
And hang on, let's fill out the pieces. What's the case? It's about a law that says you need to have access to a hospital if you're doing abortions.
Right. And,
what?
And, you know, it's making sure that people
don't die
on the table. But you know, it's fascinating. NBC News, the nightly news, where NBC, of course, where they killed the Harvey Weinstein story because they were too busy protecting their own predator, they just didn't cover it. They just didn't cover it. Both ABC and CBS on the evening news said it was a warning. He issued a warning to it's a warning like when the mobster comes into your store and says, if you don't give me $1,000, I warn you that a truck is going to come driving through your plate glass window.
Right.
They called it a warning. So they would have covered it up. They would have covered it up if Justice John Roberts had not rebuked him. If the Chief Justice had not rebuked him, which is very rare, it would have passed away completely. Because the thing is, it's not, you know, you can't be a gangster without a gang. And the thing about Schumer is he has the press to surround him and cover this kind of thing up. While they keep harping on Donald Trump's rudeness and his roughness and his divisiveness, while they're threatening to punch him in the face and assassinating him on videos and doing all the things that they do, they would have completely covered this up, except that John Roberts came back at him on it. And then McConnell picked it up, and then they started to talk about censuring him. And then he said, well, I shouldn't have used those words. But this is something they get away with all the time. And it's really, it's part of this whole philosophy they have that their policies are not just good policies, but they are the policies of virtue, and therefore anybody who opposes their policies must be evil. You know, you must be some kind of bigot or some kind of hater or some kind of phobic in order to oppose their policies. They've talked themselves into this. Plus, they've now made the Supreme Court so all-powerful in their mind that anything the court does has to be either opposed or supported completely because they are the virtuous ones. It's an incredible series of philosophical mistakes that have led a guy like Chuck Schumer to become this violent punk who shouts threats over the wall at the Supreme Court building. It's an amazing progression they've taken.
He's Andrew
Clavin. They call him progressives.
I guess. He's Andrew Clavin. Follow him right now on Twitter, Andrew Clavin, K-L-A-V-A-N, andrewclavin.com. I want to run something past you that I opened the show with, and it kind of fits in here very neatly. I was at the post office, and a conservative who I've bumped into a few times at the post office said, hey, Dr. Gorka, can you get a message for the president? Could you tell him to stop tweeting and using the phrase, Sleepy Joe, it's a bit mean? And then I thought, I won't tell you what I said. I mean, it was relatively polite. But one side is threatening violence against the Supreme Court, and our side is queasy about the adjective sleepy. Andrew, well, are we living in a twilight zone?
What they don't understand, and they really don't understand this, is the Democrat politicians can't afford to be restrained because they're surrounded by not just the news media, but an entertainment media that relentlessly calls us Nazis, that has relentlessly compared Donald Trump to Hitler, that for 2.5 years said he was a Russian spy on every news station except for Fox. They accused him of being a Russian asset. They can say all these things while the politicians kind of look a little nicer than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the only voice, really the only voice, that speaks back to them with the same kind of power that they have. And the fact that he is pugilistic and the fact that he is rough-tongued is simply giving back to them what Republican presidents have been getting for years. George W. Bush had the theory with Karl Rove. He had the theory that the presidency was so lofty and so high above the press that it didn't have to respond. And because of that, he left office with a 23% approval rating.
Correct.
Because they just stomped over him. They marched right over him. And Karl Rove ultimately said that they had made a mistake in doing that. Well, Trump is not that guy. You know, I mean, Trump, you know, if a dog barks at Trump, he's going to walk back 2 blocks and kick it. So he's somebody who's not going to let them just kind of walk all over him. The way they have been doing to Republicans, it's now 30 years they've been doing this. So they're only getting back what they've given. They're only reaping what they sowed.
Let's play one more soundbite from the pro-death demonstration outside the Supreme Court yesterday. This is Busy Phillips. That's a weird name, but this is her about what she's excited about. Busy Phillips cut for.
We'll never stop talking about my abortion or my periods or my experiences in childbirth. My episiotomies, my yeast infections, or my ovulation that lines up with the moon.
Episiotomies and yeast infections, important things to scream about. They're loonies, aren't they, Andrew? I mean, they're just loonies.
This stuff is heartbreaking. I mean, the fact that the Democrats, what did they marshal? I can't remember if it was 42 or 44 senators who would not vote for a bill to punish doctors for letting full-grown babies, fully delivered babies, die. They wanted to say that you can't do that, and they can't get the Democrat senators to vote for this. Listen, when you walk down the wrong road, the right way to go is to go back, is to turn around and go back. This thing with abortion, this thing that that a baby is not a person, that an unborn baby is not a person, it's just a part of your body, which scientifically is not true, is just one of the true moral mistakes this country has made. And it is a real mistake, and it turns people into what you just heard. It's an amazing thing.
This is why he's Andrew Clavin. I mean, just think about the visual power of that image. You go down the wrong road, you need to turn back. But the Democrats don't. They keep on going back with the one and only Andrew Clavin here on America First on the Salem Radio Network. Whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
We are back with Andrew Clavin. Follow him right now. He is the author. I love this fantasy podcast. It's called Another Kingdom, and the second book is out. You can listen to it, or you can buy the book. It's called The Nightmare Feast. He's with The Daily Wire at Real Daily Wire. Welcome back, Drew. We have to keep testing you. We need analysis from you from some crazy audio. We're going to go now to let's pick something that I want to get your take on the last 72 hours. Let's go to No Boxes Mini Mike, cut 5.
I have to say, there is no doubt in my mind we would have beaten Donald Trump in November. And you know who else knows that? Donald Trump. He's been scared stiff of us, and for good reason. Because every time he hit us, we hit back twice as hard.
When we're not licking our fingers and touching the coffee jug. We would have beaten him in November. I think he's living on the same fantasy island as Tulsi Gabbard. Don't you have to get nominated for candidate to get a chance to beat somebody in an election?
Well, that's the logic. I'm the guy who would have beaten Donald Trump if I were the guy who could have beaten Joe Biden. I mean, he couldn't beat a guy who can't remember the name of God. I mean, you say what you will about God, but his name is only three letters long, and Joe Biden can't remember it. And Bloomberg couldn't beat him. You know, it is an interesting thing that he poured. He spent over $500 million.
Hang on. This is very important. Yeah. He spent the same amount of money to win American Samoa that Donald Trump spent to become president. $700 million.
It is amazing. Molly Hemingway made the excellent point last night on Fox where she said, you know, all this time we've been listening to how the Russians spent $100,000 trying to toy with our election and what a terrible thing that was. You can't even toy with our elections for over $500 million. And that also makes Bernie look ridiculous. All this stuff about corporations buying the election. You can't buy the election. You just can't do it. The people will see you. They will look at you. They will judge you on their own. And that was something I think that Mike Bloomberg really, truly did not understand. When Donald Trump tweeted at him, "It's a lot harder to do what I did than it looks," I think that was a really sharp poke, because it is. It's hard to do what Donald Trump did. You know, I've been telling this to all my kind of – I don't have never-Trump friends, but I have kind of never-Trump friends. Mm-hmm. And I'll say to them, look, you keep telling me he's stupid. He keeps winning. You keep telling me, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He keeps doing it. I think at some point you have to give the guy credit for who he is and what he's done. You know, I will tell you something else. This has been one of the truly successful presidencies
yes.
of my life. And it's remarkable to me that Trump isn't trending 60% approval in the polls. And that just says something about the polls, or it says something about the country and how divided people are and how misguided people are. Because what Bloomberg thought he was going to do that was better than what's being done, I have no idea. I really don't know what he thinks is going to what he was going to do. Trump has got the economy working well. I mean, we're going through this, you know, coronavirus crisis, and still the economy is doing well.
Yes,
he's about to end the war in Afghanistan after 18 years, which is a stupendous achievement. He has rejiggered our foreign relations and basically started to open up the supply chains with China. You know, it's an amazing presidency. It really is. You know, no matter what you think of Trump personally, those are amazing achievements. And what has Bloomberg done? You know, what Bloomberg's key achievement in life is that he didn't screw up Giuliani's salvation of New York City. I congratulate him for that. I really do. I think it's a good thing. Now de Blasio is screwing up Giuliani's salvation of New York City, so at least Bloomberg didn't do that. But I don't know. You know, this whole idea of not giving Trump credit for what he's achieved and constantly focusing on the eccentricities of his character, which are there, you know, constantly, at some point you have to say, yeah, but he's awfully good at this presidenting business, right? And I just think that Bloomberg, it never occurred to Bloomberg to even pay him that little respect.
Well, we'll see if the real important question is answered. The only people who need to give the president credit for anything on the American people in 242 days. Follow him right now, Andrew Klavan, K-L-A-V-A-N, on Twitter. He's at andrewklavan.com and at The Daily Wire. Most important of all, you've got to check it out. If you like science fiction, if you like fantasy like I do, Another Kingdom, Book 2, The Nightmare Feast. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Thank you, Drew. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Back to your calls in a moment. We are broadcasting from ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I'm so grateful. Why? I've come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee. I've got a nice 10-inch scar on my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking Relief Factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable. To be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Don't hesitate. What have you got to lose? You deserve to be the next success story. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls here on America First on 833-334-6752.
No hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
I'm a little confused. Who do I call? What do I call my next guest? Is he Dr. Robert Jeffries? Or is he Pastor Robert Jeffries? Or is he Pastor Dr. Robert or Dr. Pastor? I don't know. I'm just going to say he's the author of a new book, Courageous. I love that title. And endorsements are like a who's who. The first endorsement is from my good friend, Colonel Oliver North. And the list goes on and on and on. Pastor Dr. Robert Jeffries, welcome to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is a fascinating book because what you've done for your readers, this is Courageous, is the title, is give them a kind of war plan for how this isn't, you know, the prosperity gospel, you know, yeah, snake oil. This is about how to survive in how to thrive, not just survive, in an increasingly hostile culture. Now, I want everybody to follow the pastor. It's Robert Jeffress, and I'm going to spell it because it's unusual. J-E-F-F-R-E-S-S. No I's here, okay? It's like Jeff Ress, J-E-F-F-R-E-S-S. And I want everybody to get his book, Courage, Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Can you just give us a little teaser, a little flavor of the things that your readers will learn in your book, Courageous?
Well, you bet. You know, C.S. Lewis years ago described this world as enemy-occupied territory.
He did.
And, you know, that's true. If you're a Christian trying to live out your faith in today's world, I mean, it's increasingly harder to do it. I mean, we've got incoming coming from every direction,
right.
a hostile culture to the things of God. We've got natural challenges like the coronavirus or tornadoes. For Christians, we know we have an adversary, the devil, who's hell-bent on destroying everything important in our life. And yet God's given us everything we need, not just to survive, but thrive. And what I did was, Sebastian, I took the 10 survival tactics that survivalists tell us that we need to utilize if we're in a plane crash or in an avalanche. Things like don't panic, trust your training, do the next right thing. And I applied them to how we can live out our faith. And, you know, you mentioned Oliver North. He said when he read the manuscript, he said, for decades, I've taught these very same survival strategies to Marines, it never occurred to me that you could use them in other areas of life as well. So it's a very practical book about how to live out your life in a positive way.
Now, I've got so many questions. We've got 4 minutes left with you. The author of the book, Courageous, is Dr. Robert Jeffress. Get it now and follow him, Robert G-A-F-F, sorry, J-E-F-F-R-E-S-S on Twitter. Can I ask you to just extrapolate on one thing you just mentioned, and it's also from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said, I think it was C.S. Lewis, tell me if I'm wrong, the greatest achievement of the devil was to convince the world that he didn't exist. Isn't it important for Christians to understand that this isn't from fairy tales, this isn't from, you know, Old Testament stuff that has been updated, but the Dark One is real, and we have to understand that his dominion is the earth, and the Lord's dominion is the hereafter.
Well, absolutely right. And if there is no real personal Satan, if he's just a figment of people's imagination, that Jesus belonged in an insane asylum,
right.
They should have locked him up because he was actually talking to the devil regularly, and he had encounters with Satan. And you're exactly right. And, you know, there was a Jesuit priest back in the 1300s who said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spirit beings having a human experience. Now, that's theologically maybe a little bit off, but I think his point is exactly right. Behind what we see, Sebastian, the visible, is an invisible war that's been going on since the beginning of time between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And a lot of the conflicts you and I experience every day with our mate, with our boss, with this world, all of these things are a manifestation of that unseen spirit war. And yet Jesus said, you know, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take courage, for I've overcome the world. Yes, Satan is real, but he's also already defeated by God, and we can live in victory and not in fear.
This, again, you're stealing my thunder, but it's perfect. So, you know, Ronald Reagan said, be happy, warriors. And this is a Christian message. Yes, man is fallen. Yes, the devil is real. But we have been saved by the grace of God on that cross. So here's the question I have for you. And it's a prosaic one because it doesn't matter either way because we have already won. You say we're in a hostile environment in your book, Courageous, Pastor Jeffress. Are things getting better in terms of that culture's godlessness?
Yeah.
Or are things worsening in the last year or few year or five?
You know, Sebastian, you know that I'm a very strong supporter of the president,
yes,
like you are, and I believe he's done more for the Christian faith than any president in history, but I believe this is just a respite. I believe when the left regains control of the country, not if, But when they do, they are going to unleash a persecution against Christians and the church like we've never seen. It's not going to be incremental. It's going to be intensive. And that's one reason I wrote this book, Courageous, to prepare Christians for that inevitable time. We've been living in a bubble here in America for a while. Other Christians around the world are facing persecution. I think the day is coming when it's going to happen in America as well.
Well, God bless you. I have my copy, but I need a signed copy because that's when it really counts. You can get yours right now. Go to where books are sold. Go to Amazon.com. You know what to do and order Courageous. 10 strategies for thriving in a hostile world. And while you're ordering it, follow Pastor Dr. Robert Jeffries right now. Robert, J-E-F-F-R-E-S-S. Pastor, keep doing what you do. God bless.
Thanks, Sebastian.
While we are on the message of doing the right thing as Christians in this world, let's make sure that you are supporting our Feeding the Starving Families program. I'm going to give you details of that when we get back, and then maybe squeeze in a call or two, because we need to get back to hearing your voice here on America First. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real. And most important of all, if you think about how most people don't understand how pain relief tablets work. If you're taking synthetic painkillers, they don't fix anything. They dull your sense of being in pain. They attack the nerve receptors. They don't do anything about the cause of your pain. But Relief Factor does. The ingredients of Relief Factor, resveratrol, curcumin, omega-3s, attack the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. Shouldn't that be the way that we approach pain relief? I'm sitting here with my knee surgery, and I'm taking Relief Factor, and I'm not taking one painkiller because I don't need to. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans right now. You can see their video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com. And then you need to do one thing. Order the three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. It's very simple. Costs less than a dollar a day. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it morning and evening, as do I, by the end of the 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me. Don't hesitate. Like the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls in a moment.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Food for the Poor, bringing food and clean water to the starving in Guatemala. Make a difference. You heard Paul Jacobs in studio. $80 donated by you will provide food for a year and clean drinking water for a child in Guatemala. Any donation makes a difference. This is $1,000 Thursday. Please, please do the right thing. Be a modern missionary. Go to SebGorka.com right now, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, SebGorka.com, and click on the Feed the Starving Families banner and make a donation today. You can call them at 833-855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673, or just go to my website, SebGorka.com. Let's squeeze in a couple of calls. Let's go to Tommy in Kentucky, line three.
Hi.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka. I heard on the radio yesterday, and I looked it up while I was waiting online. On CBS This Morning yesterday, Valerie Jarrett mentioned that the conventional wisdom would be to announce a running mate that is a woman of color. And I just wanted your opinion on that and whether they think that that might mean Michelle Obama would be Biden's running mate or Sanders' running mate.
Saying that you need a person of color to be the running mate is racism. That's what Martin Luther King would say. So I
agree with that, but this is what she is saying on TV, and
to
pander to a group of
it's just pandering. But you know, judging based upon skin color means you're just a racist. But you know, Valerie Jarrett, I guess she's a racist. Great question, Tony. Thanks for your patience. Somebody's been waiting a very long time in San Francisco. Let's go to the Bay. Our last call of the day, John, line one. Thank you for your patience, John.
Well, what's going on? Hey, I was just calling. I told you, man. Yeah, we got Gurney Bernie and Jared Paul Joe. What about the 25th Amendment with these guys? You know, we had it on Trump, needed his doctor appointment and the shrinks and all those people. I mean, come on. You know, what goes around comes around. And also, I was wondering about the whole thing about the superdelegates. We got this thing about the popular vote, and it looks like what's going on with the superdelegates, it's like twisting the Electoral College around times two.
John, stop being commonsensical and using logic. We're talking about the...
Well, I am a drama major, so I can bring the drama.
Are you seriously...
I was a grad of San Francisco State back, you know, during the AIDS crisis.
What do you do now? What do you do now?
That was too...
John, I'm asking a question. Yeah. What do you do now?
I'm a caregiver for my 93-year-old parents, so I love elders. But when it comes to the 25th Amendment, let's face it, with the president, Trump with half
John,
a brain...
John, keep looking after them. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Stay frosty, my friends. This has been America First.